Hi, everybody. I'm Beauty Code Red Oath, and welcome again to the Ask Beauty Show. And these days, now more than ever, we all need to really give ourselves permission and reach out and ask for help when life becomes just way too challenging, which it has for the majority of us, particularly since the beginning of the pandemic. I mean, look at all the concerns that we have now that we may not have had prior to March. Am I going to be able to pay my rent and buy food? Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to lose my businesses, as so many small businesses have? You know, I walk around the streets of New York City, of course, keeping social distance, which in itself is so weird. And at times it just feels so isolating. And you see one store after another with for rent signs, for sale signs. So things have really, really changed for most of us. You know, what if I'm going to contract the virus? Should I wear my mask all the time? Should I cover my nose? What happens if I'm running? What happens if I'm exercising? Should I go to a gym? Should I not go to a gym? Should I hug anybody? Should I not hug anybody? What about health insurance? Do I even have health insurance? And if I have health insurance, the worry about whether or not it is going to cover a catastrophic illness like COVID-19. And let's not forget, and I know that this all sounds very, very depressing, but it is real. And I hear from my patients, my colleagues, my friends, my family, that people are really, really going through a difficult time, a challenging time, and we're all trying to really find our bearings and reevaluate and reflect and ideally reset and figure out on a day-to-day basis how this is going to be impacting our lives and our relationships. Am I going to need to apply for unemployment insurance? It was just a couple of months ago that we were all told that there was going to be a stimulus package. Well, now we're not sure if there's going to be a stimulus package at all. And so many people, as you well know, were relying on that extra $1,200 per person to be able to maintain a certain kind of lifestyle, a basic kind of lifestyle, and unemployment benefits. There was talk that people who were on unemployment insurance were going to be getting $600 a week, and that is to pay for rent, for food, and to maintain a very, very basic lifestyle. Well, that hope was also really just disappeared. It disappeared so quickly. And now they're talking $300 a week, but nobody is quite sure when that money is going to be coming in. Money that people are depending on for their very, very existence. And school, I remember as a child and as a mom, September would come and everybody was really excited. The summer vacation was over and children were going to get ready and looking forward, or at least many of the children, most children, I think, were looking forward to go to school and see their teachers and meet their new classmates. But now, look at what's happening. I know that in New York, some of the children are going to school full-time. Some of them are going part-time. The parents are really concerned about whether or not they're going to need to be homeschooling the children. Should I send my kids to daycare? Should I not send my kids to daycare? And, you know, the other thing, too, is being with someone, even people who you love, most of the time can be enormously, enormously stressful. And I know that those of you who listen to the Ask Beauty Show on a regular basis can totally you know, relate to all of this and look at the political and, of course, the economic unrest that we are all experiencing. It is a crazy, crazy, crazy time. I mean, I haven't seen a patient. I love my patients. I loved when people would come to my office and we would be able to hug and there was closeness. And I haven't seen a patient other than on Zoom and on Skype since March. And I guess it's a good thing that we have Zoom and we have Skype, but it's really, really not the same at all. So we are going through an enormous 360 degree change, and people are finding it difficult. And the good thing, I think, is that the self-help hotline calls are surging. Of course, that means that people are really having a lot of difficulty, but at least they are realizing and they are giving themselves permission to reach out and ask for help. I mean, 50% of people now are working from home. I know many people like it, many people don't, but the fact is that people have become more and more and more anxious and depressed and disconnected. There has also been a real increase in alcohol and in wine sales. In fact, a recent study was showing that alcohol use has jumped 75% and wine 66%. And people are exercising less. And even though, you know, we're now in the middle of September and fall is on its way, you know, my hope is that people are going to masked and all, be walking and jogging and not allowing that very, very important part of our life, which is exercise, to really go by the wayside. And we have to be really careful about not overindulging in food and in substances of various different kinds. And of course, all of these issues that I'm mentioning, I mean, these are over and above all of the different problems and concerns and issues that people have been struggling with pre-pandemic. You know, for example, pre-pandemic, we talked about 16 million adults in the United States, which translates into 1 in 5 Americans who are suffering from clinical depression, 40 million adults suffering from a variety of different anxiety disorders. And we know that these numbers have really, really gone up since the pandemic. In fact, the U.S. Census Bureau, they recently reported, and listen to this statistic, this is quite depressing, that a third of Americans show signs of clinical depression and anxiety. So it's no longer 1 in 5 Americans that we've been talking about for, you know, a number of years. It's now 1 in 3 Americans. And these and other mental conditions are becoming amplified, of course, during this pandemic. And families are also at high risk. It's not just the individuals to develop the depression and anxiety. And also in a study at Mass General, providers saw in March, for example, March 2019, that was the year before the pandemic, providers saw 5% of patients through telepsychiatry or over the phone or video. But since March 2020, and listen to this number, we all now see 97% of patients virtually. And as I mentioned, in my practice, it is 100%. And, you know, in psychiatry, we don't need to do physical examinations or procedures. And so delivery of care, it can be virtual. But, you know, it's really not the same. I know that I typically use Zoom. And in the middle, I mean, it is so frustrating in the middle of a significant interaction, there will be a problem with the connection, or there will be a problem with the computer. But listen, we are all definitely doing the very, very best that we can. And we have to remember that there really are things that we need to continue to do every day, which do help to improve the quality of our life. And I know that I mention this, and Gary and I, we mention this every single day. But these reminders are important because I think it's really easy to become lax. For example, the importance of plant-based diets, the fruits, the vegetables, the grains, the fish, the nuts, the herbs, the supplements, the vitamins. It's important. It's really, really important to be able to take care of ourselves, even if we have children at home and we're working from home and life is feeling overwhelming. We still need to take some time every single day, me time, just for ourselves. So be careful, really be careful what it is that you are eating. You know, people in Sardinia, and I talk about this a lot too, they eat healthily. And what else do they do? Well, there is interaction and there is socialization and they sleep 8 hours a night and take naps. And we may not be able to do all of these things every single day, but the importance of sleep and exercise and social interaction. And I know that prior to the pandemic, you know, I think I was one of these people that was really down on emailing and technology and Zooming and Skype. And yet we need to do whatever it is that we need to do to keep connected, that human connection, even if it is over a computer screen. And again, the importance of exercise and weight training and yoga and meditation and mindfulness, anything at all that we can possibly do to keep ourselves calm and to keep ourselves centered. And of course, the importance, and I talk about this a lot, of having really supportive people in your life and eliminating the toxins. And of course, when we talk about toxins, most people think of chemical toxins, but of course, when I talk about toxins, sure, I do talk about chemical toxins, but for me, the importance of keeping toxic people, and that oftentimes means friends and family, at a very, very great distance. Also, positive visualization. I know sometimes if I'm feeling really anxious or really uptight, I try to imagine scenes that are calming, whether or not it's the beach or whether or not, you know, it's a wonderful memory, whether it's a wonderful interaction with somebody like my husband or dancing, you know, just something to keep ourselves as positive as possible. And I can't underestimate, you know, how wonderful it is to be able to dance, and you don't have to be a great dancer, and listening to music, and of course, herbal teas, aromatherapy, essential oils, whatever it is that you need to do that is actually in your best interest. And of course, support groups, even though now the support groups like a 12-step program are online, they can be very, very helpful and also, you know, help you to feel less lonely and more connected to other human beings. And of course, remember to eliminate almost entirely, if you possibly can, the sugar, the soda, the alcohol, the nicotine, all the toxins, of course, and including, you know, toxic people, and to find a balance between work and responsibilities and having fun. And I think these days a lot of people are having a lot of difficulty figuring out, you know, what is it that is actually fun to do. So we have to really dig in deep and, you know, hopefully come out with the answers. But, you know, as I've been mentioning this for years, in fact, today is the 313th Ask Beauty show that I have hosted on the Progressive Radio Network, that we don't need to navigate life's challenges and life's struggles on our own. I mean, I think about when I was competing nationally and provincially in Canada, in tennis, in badminton, in ping pong, and in figure skating, and I never could have done any of this without really, really good coaches. And I was very fortunate. My father was my tennis coach and my badminton coach. But the point of the matter is that these days, life is challenging, whether or not you're having issues with depression or anxiety, or whether you have sexual issues or couple issues or family issues or marital problems. The very, very best thing that you can do for yourself is to give yourself permission. It is not a weakness. It is a strength to realize that we need a second opinion, that we need a second perspective on helping us move forward and be able to get to a better place in our life. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of commercials now on television. Of course, you know, Michael Phelps, and he is the spokesperson of a company called Talk Therapy. And I think that getting out the message that it is really okay to ask for help is something that I think is really starting to have a positive impact on people. So I hope you're going to take this all in. And if you have questions or concerns, you can always reach out to me. You can go to my beautycode.com website. All the contact information is there. Of course, you can always, you know, contact me through the Progressive Radio Network. Well, moving on, I have an absolutely terrific, terrific guest. Let me tell you what happened a couple of months ago before I introduced formally Dr. Craig Bishop. About 2.5 months ago, I was on a tennis court with my pro. I don't think I probably stretched sufficiently, and I really injured my hip. I really injured myself badly. And for me, tennis has always been such an important part of my life. And it was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And so it happened, because I wasn't sure whether I should take some medication, whether I should go to an orthopedic surgeon, whether or not I should just contact my family physician. But I happened to run into a neighbor who is an acupuncturist, and he said, "The person that you need to see is Dr. Craig Fischel, who is a chiropractor." So very, very reluctantly, because I had never seen a chiropractor, and I think a lot of people have a lot of mistaken views about who goes to a chiropractor and what goes on at a chiropractor's office, I gave Dr. Fischel a call, and I have to tell you, I am back on the courts, playing better than ever. I am seeing Dr. Fischel on a weekly basis, and I am feeling great. In fact, this morning, I go every single Monday morning, I was saying to his physiotherapist that I'm even walking better. So it's been really important for me. So having said all that, I want to welcome you, Dr. Fischel.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to it.
Well, I am really glad. I'm really glad to have you as a guest. And I want people to know that you are the founder and director of the Wellness Center of New York in Manhattan, and that the Wellness Center of New York has a vision. And it's not just a vision. It's a reality that every individual can be inspired to achieve a level of health higher than they ever could have dreamed. And that this is accomplished by providing the most advanced information on better health and performance in areas of fitness, nutrition, stress, and time management. And I know that you have your own story about how you landed into the world of chiropractic. So How did that happen? I mean, was it something that you thought you always wanted to do? How did you discover your world?
Yeah, that's what I call my backstory. And I put
let's hear the backstory.
Everyone that walks in our door now, you know, we take a history, right? And you do that in your profession as well, where brought you here? And my walking through the front door of the chiropractic office, while it wasn't literally walking, I could not walk at the time. I played very competitive baseball growing up all through, and I was playing baseball at the University at Albany. And when you play at a college level, you're asked to really give a lot of time and commitment. And in that, you train often. And while here we are in the 21st century, the training has even gotten greater and more advanced. At that time, we would just swing the bat a lot, rotate your trunk, turning. Of course, there were weights involved and we had great care. But on one fateful afternoon, while in the batting cage, I rotated over my torso and felt the pop and buckled to the ground. And if you've ever banged your head and you see stars, I saw stars and my legs went out from me and I could not hold myself up. With a shriek, I was brought to an orthopedic who happened to be the university's trainer. And I was told to shut it down. I followed the normal course of recommendations at that time, which the standard of care for that kind of injury is anti-inflammatories and recommendations for surgical consult to see if it is or is it not surgical. And that really wasn't a great option for me at the age of 19, where the season was a month away. And
right.
I said, what do you think about chiropractic? And similar to how you introduced it, where chiropractic is, what do we know about it? I didn't know much about it. So it wasn't my life's calling at that moment. And I went to a chiropractor. He gave me what I now know as a chiropractic adjustment. I didn't feel the heavens part and the sea open. I said, okay. He said, come back tomorrow. That was a Wednesday. I went back Thursday. The third day in a row on a Friday, I felt like I could bound off the table. And I said, hey, can I go play ball today? Can I play ball? He said, yeah, you can play ball, but you've got a lot going on in your health. Now, let's unwind. What is he saying? I have a lot going on in my health. I'm 19 years old. I've got 6% body fat. I feel like I'd run through a brick wall. And no, I was consuming massive amounts of medication, all sorts of anti-inflammatory allergy pills. I grew up an asthmatic from the time I was about 7 years old into my early 20s. I couldn't run around without inhaling a rescue inhaler that I used quite often. So I was, I really wasn't so healthy. And he said, listen, I'm not that kind of chiropractor that I would want you to go see. You should really go to someone who's going to get you off the medications and teach you how to live a healthy lifestyle. And that was my entree point in it, too. I started to study it, but I also started to experience and receive it. I did go to a more well-rounded approach instead of the symptom-oriented care. And I received what's called corrective care, which is the type that we now deliver. And in a short while, I was off every single medication that I was on at that time. So that's my backstory, if you will.
Well, you know, this morning when you were giving me my adjustment, and you know, the thing that is really so amazing, and of course my listeners know that I don't have any advertisers and this is not an infomercial, I was amazed, I mean, because I really didn't know what to expect, that after a couple of adjustments, you said to me, you said, BD, you can go back on the tennis courts. So things with me happened really quite rapidly, even though the plan, of course, because this is not just a one-shot kind of deal, is that, you know, I'm going to be continuing to, you know, to come to you until what you were saying, until my spine is in better alignment. And that was the thing that I think a lot of people might be confused about, as am I. Why is the spine this really important part of our body that impacts so many of our physical and emotional problems? What is it about the spine that's so important?
That is the essence of the question. That is a great question. So the brain and spinal cord are our central nervous system, and it controls, the central nervous system controls every function, including our healing. And we have the spinal column, the vertebrae itself, the structure which surrounds the spinal cord, starting at the base of the skull. So on the one hand, we could look at it from a mechanical viewpoint, where it's centralized, it's the middle of the body, everything attaches to it, it holds it up. For your arms and your legs, there's this central point. And while that's a great component of healthy alignment, that's one side of the equation. The more important part is the healing and the function of the nervous system, is every cell, everything moves through the brain and spinal cord and spinal nerves. And when the alignment improves, and this was that light bulb moment for me, was when I started to receive regular care and move vertebrae back in position that had been subluxated or out of position for so long, the healing really began. And that is an ongoing process, because we're constantly changing. You're on a tennis court this morning, you're playing, you're moving things around, and thank God you're functionally able to do that. But what you did this morning affected what I did this afternoon with you.
Right. And I have to say that my pro, Gary, I mean, he's been working with me for years. I mean, he cannot believe in the last couple of months what has happened to my hip motion, to my rotation. And so obviously it's not just, you know, something that I'm experiencing, but that's also very visible. Listen, we have a call for you, and I think we should take it. We have Shannon from Oklahoma who has a question for you, Dr. Pichelle. So I think that we should hear what Shannon has to say. Hi, Shannon. Welcome to the Ask Beattie Show.
Hi, Beattie, and hi, Dr. Pichelle. I love your show, Beattie. This is fabulous.
Thank you.
So what Dr.
Pichelle,
the question I have is, typically, because I have a lower back issue and it comes and goes, so my question is, how long does it usually take to correct the spine? Like when you're saying that, you know, corrective care versus just getting you out of pain, how long does that usually take?
So Shannon, let me ask you a question. Have you ever known anyone that wore braces?
Sorry, my dog's barking. I can hear you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Had you ever known anyone who wore braces on their teeth?
Oh, yes, my daughter, for sure.
And how long did she have those braces on?
It was a little over 2 years.
Right. So now, when we look at a spine and measure it, I'm going to draw a similarity to the function of the spine and then the teeth of the alignment. When something has moved a certain degree, let's say 10 degrees off center, we know within a very good specificity of time and frequency that that person will need to receive care by measuring the spine. And a corrective care chiropractor, and there are quite a few of our techniques that are out there in the community that do specific correction. And we use a combination of a few of those therapies and adjusting techniques in our office. On the minimum side, it's 90 days, something very minimal. The average case in our practice takes approximately 18 months to fully correct. So now the important part of that is, while teeth, there's an aesthetic, sometimes it also helps prevent decay, they don't control all of your health. The nervous system through the spine controls every function in your health. So if we can correct something inside of 18 months, and then staying along that same discussion about the teeth, did your daughter wear a retainer thereafter?
Yes, she did, actually for a couple of years as well.
So we would then put someone into a protocol and program where they're maintaining the function of their spine with regular check-ins and alignment checkups. Does that help answer your question?
It does. I really appreciate that, because I know every time I go get adjusted, it feels better, but it keeps coming back. And so
right.
I really appreciate that. That makes a lot of sense. Never really quite thought about it at that level. So thank you so much.
It's a great analogy. And thank you so much for calling the show, Shannon.
You bet.
She brought along
there,
a great question about
such a great
feeling,
program, and
right?
Thank you, Dr.
Thanks,
Michelle.
Shannon. Brought along
such
a question
great
about
analogy.
Symptoms.
That's such a great analogy that you use, though, with, you know, with braces. I mean, in our society, we want it yesterday, we want it now, and we want the quick fix. And yet the importance of maintenance, I mean, that was something that I had actually never thought about asking you. And that is that once the spine is aligned, does it always stay aligned, or do you need to have adjustments from time to time to keep it in tip-top shape?
Yes, you do. You can choose, and we like to give an individual choice, that they choose what's best for them. Most people in our practice do choose what we call wellness care, ongoing maintenance. Yet, going to that reality of symptom-based orientation, where they want to feel good, right? Feeling good is easier and faster than healing good. And we can deliver a symptom, you know, that get rich quick. And I happened to hear your opening this morning, this afternoon. We're listening to all of what's going on in the world right now. And people are looking for feel good moments, and they are looking for something that can, you know, ripple their positivity or increase how they're feeling. And that's the easiest part. I tell our practice members that, you know, the symptom and feeling good, that's the easy part. That's what I received in 3 visits. That's what you received when you came in. But
right.
The moment of education, the moment of really what I call the light bulb moment, is when the person makes the choice that this fits their wellness routine. This is very congruent with their healthy living, as you know it, our triangle component of health.
No, exactly. Listen, I have a million questions, but we have another caller, so I'm going to take the call. This is Lester from Orangeburg, New York. I have no idea where Orangeburg, New York is, but welcome, Lester, to the Ask Beatty Show, and I know you have a question for Dr. Fischel.
Yes, Beatty. Hi. It's such a pleasure to speak with you, because I've been a big fan of the show for a long time. And hi, Dr. Fischel. It's very nice to meet you as well.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, Lester.
So my question really, is based on an understanding of personal experience I've had with chiropractic care, and how much I've really truly benefited from it. The care that I've received is very similar to, I think, what you provide, which is really integrated care approach, thinking about it from a standpoint of not just treating one single symptom, but really looking at the whole, essentially the whole person, and understanding, a lot more about them. And one of my sons is actually interested in becoming a chiropractor, and I was wondering, can you maybe share a little bit about some of the programs that exist out there that use this integrated medicine approach that you use, versus maybe something that is maybe a little bit more like traditional care?
Wow, that's a great question, Lester. When we look across the sphere of chiropractic schools, there are schools from New Zealand and Australia into the UK and London, here in the States, and then north to Canada. The rest of the world doesn't yet have chiropractic schools. And I'm glad you're using the word integrative, because that means it's inclusive, as opposed to the word alternative, which Harvard University back in 1996 started a program called Complementary and Alternative Medicine. So medical schools have started to embrace that there is more to how we become healthy than delivering symptom-based care. And the school that I chose to go to, called New York Chiropractic College, first of all, you need a 4-year undergraduate degree prior to your acceptance to a chiropractic school. You need to maintain a pretty decent GPA in your health sciences. There is no entry exam, so there's not what the equivalent of an MCAT. There's not a chiropractic exam, but it's a 4-year program after your 4-year undergraduate degree. And that the school, New York, is very integrative. It actually includes an acupuncture program. There is massage therapy there. And my school, we were in depth. We learned all pharmacology, not for the point to deliver it, because that's what a medical degree allows. But so we would understand the patient in front of us, what they might be taking, what that may or may not be doing with to their health. And for your son, the first step would be, is he in college yet, regular college?
No, he's a high school senior, so he's beginning to look at the overall approach to reach that goal of becoming a chiropractor.
Excellent. So he's on the right track because, you know, a lot of us, we didn't know that there were differences in schools. I didn't know that until I was... recognize the medical way, and at this stage of where we are in health in 2020, we need everybody speaking to everyone and communicating and saying, hey, medicine is okay. And so I would recommend that he maybe bounces into a few chiropractic offices. I can make a phone call if you leave your info with the board op, and we can definitely get him on the track that he's looking at the right places that speak to his chosen approach.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Bischel. That sounds wonderful. And, you know, you're absolutely right. And I think Beattie said it best earlier. You know, the idea truly is that, you know, as you're trying to really treat the needs of the patient, you have to listen to, you know, what really is, you know, affecting them. And we have to, you know, we have to think about how do we get rid of those toxins. And there's a number of different ways of doing that. And it's really great to hear that, you know, how you've helped her and how you're, you know, you're helping your other patients, you know, especially during this difficult time right now that so many people are, you know, are struggling with, both from a health perspective as well as emotional, financial. So, you know, you're doing really great work. And, you know, it's exciting to hear the kinds of ways that you're really helping your patients.
Listen, Lester, thank you so, so much for your call. And you can call anytime. The show, of course, is live every Monday afternoon from 3 to 4. Again, thanks so much for calling in today.
Thank you, Beattie.
And you know, Dr. Bischel, what's really interesting, and we started to talk a little bit about this morning when you were doing my adjustment, is that getting to the root of the problem, whether or not we're talking about psychotherapy or sex therapy or back problems, and this is something that so many, I think, traditional doctors and so many therapists just want to, what I call, do bandage therapy. As you say, you get rid of the initial discomfort, but you never quite get to what has really caused the problems, and so that you continue to really have bandage therapy as your protocol, you know, moving forward, which I have found certainly as a psychotherapist never works. So it's interesting that we share the identical perspective on helping patients to get to the root of the problem so that they're going to be able to feel better mentally, spiritually, and physically. I learned something from you this morning. It was very interesting. But let me ask you this. What are the primary reasons? I know back problems, people think of, you know, chiropractors and back problems, but what are some of the other primary reasons why people choose to come to see you?
Yeah, the most common visit to any healthcare practitioner is headaches. So we see headaches as well. So headache is, and we have fantastic success rates. All chiropractors have great success in reducing and just alleviating and removing headaches. And that's just because the location of the skull and the symptom of pain related to a headache is there. But we also, neck pain, shoulder pain, digestive trouble, asthma and allergies. And we're clear, especially in New York, which I'm located, to talk about scope of practice as to what we do and what we do not do. So even myself labeling someone an asthmatic, which is a medical diagnosis, we don't treat the asthma. We take care of the person. And someone coming in for an asthma attack, if they were really wheezing, there's a good chance that I'm sending them to a walk-in clinic to do some emergency care, knowing that along the way, we're going to now get ahead of this that emergency. And you're talking about, you know, removing the symptom and then taking care of the crisis and then getting someone well, like you in psychotherapy. If someone's always showing up when their world is coming apart,
right,
that's crisis intervention. You can do great work there. You know, that's the hotline. Someone's on the edge. But getting to that place of, you know, you keep stepping on thumbtacks, you don't have a thumbtack removal problem, you've got a walking problem. You don't know where you're going.
No.
So that's our, so when we look at the gamut of diagnostics, we do the typical tell us what brought you in, and someone will fill out the paperwork and what we call an application for care, because we have to first, we call it an application versus a patient intake, because they're applying to be our practice member and we're going to choose to accept them the same way they're choosing me as their healthcare provider, as their chiropractor. And as I look through that, we do a systems review from the top down, the head and neck, that's the cervical. So you can think of any organ, thyroid up in the throat area, okay, your glands of your throat, ear, nose, and throat, that's all cervical. And as we work ourselves down into the mid-back or the thoracic, that's your lungs, your heart, your digestive system, pancreas, gallbladder, spleen, liver, kidneys. We look at all of those functions. And then, of course, as we get into the lower back or the lumbar, the systems review would be the genitourinary system, as well as the lower musculoskeletal system. And that is how we do a review. So any condition that is affected and therefore affecting the nervous system, the body's response to healing, is what chiropractic is appropriate for.
I have a question that I actually just thought about right now. When patients come to see me, of course, nobody sees me in person. Everybody's on Zoom or on Skype or on the telephone, which is something that I miss seeing the people. You're lucky. You still see patients face to face.
That's right.
It's a whole different thing. But when I do an initial evaluation or intake, of course, I ask about everything: people's physical problems, their medication that they're taking, their lives, their relationships, their sex lives. But what just really hit me is that when people come in to see you, and is it primarily women or men who are complaining of headaches? You'll see where I'm going with this.
Yeah,
is it mostly men or women?
Yeah, there's more women who will come in, and it's not because more women have this problem, but
right,
women are more apt to be proactive in taking care of themselves. They don't let things go as often. They are more pro in their approach to health. There's definitely, in our practice, we have a pretty well-rounded practice, but we do have more female practice members than male. So when we look at, the headache, the terminology, the most common cause of headaches is called cervicogenic, which means neck pain, headache and neck pain from a muscular origin. So look at what's going on in today's world. You're talking about these Zooms. There's a terminology now called tech, T-E-C-H, tech neck. And the forward head, and that is the most common subluxation or misalignment pattern I see in practice. And we see categorically in chiropractic a forward head putting pressure on the cervical spine right at the hairline, base of the skull. And as a result, that will result in a headache, and a dentist would see that as somebody has a clenching jaw, and they'll see it from the temporal mandibular side of things. We'll look at it and say, yeah, you definitely have TMJ, you might be clenching your jaw, but we see that it's also from the head going forward that's repositioning everything in the wrong direction.
Well, with women and men who are presenting with headaches, would you then scratch that initial, physical surface and ask about their marriages. Perhaps their headaches have to do with their marriages, their sex lives, their loneliness, their depression, their anxiety, their suicidal ideation. Do you go there with a presenting problem? Actually, I suspect with any presenting problems, do you
On day one, if a practice member, if they go there, we're gonna be receptive to that. But the level of professional intimacy, they don't. That's right. The level of trust and professional intimacy develops because we have to, in my personal experience, I have to give them what they want and then tell them what they need.
So, that takes time to develop the relationship.
That's right. And sometimes, you know, in the get rich quick, I'll call it, in the some people, especially now with these emerging meds are on every block, right? People have a very fast, or they're going into your local pharmacy as well. You know, that's the equivalent of the drug dealer being right, you know, in the arena that he wants to give. Okay. So not to throw out that medicine is bad. Medicine has its place. And when we look at across the board, someone coming in my front door, I do a breakdown that we call the triangle of health, and the emotional component is a huge component. What's going on in their mind, what's going on in their approach to their mind, the things they do. It will open a door that might be beyond my four walls where they do need a mental health professional. And when they're comfortable enough to tell me, A, they're going to one, or B, they may need one, I'm pushing that door open wider for them and getting them where they need to go. On the other side of that triangle is the chemistry and biochemistry. Our body has its own chemistry, hormones. It has processes and the way we're, the nutrition that we put in, there's good and bad chemistry, right? Most of the world is toxic, as you mentioned in the outset here. When we take a chemistry into our body, the body doesn't know what to do with a Krispy Kreme. It knows what to do with an apple. Okay, it knows, it doesn't know what to do with an Advil, right, or an aspirin. It processes, it dilutes it, it puts it through, but it's always going to have a side effect. And the physical side of things, going to how we sit, how we sleep, how we stand, how we move, how we don't move, how we commute, how we sit in front of the computer. This is how I get there. So if they walk in the door and they tell me I'm on six medications for X, Y, and Z, then I'll open the door to say, hey, do you have a future that sees you taking less of that? And they'll say, yeah, great. Then we have to create a plan to get there because it doesn't start today.
What percentage, and this is something that I briefly wanted to talk with you about this morning when I was having my own terrific adjustment. What percentage of the people who come to you would be coming with the initial complaint being depression or anxiety?
Very, very, unfortunately, a small percentage come through with that chief complaint. I would welcome that as what we call a chief complaint. There is a huge correlation to low back pain and depression. Something along the last research I read was 90% of all people's low back pain have some form of depression. So there's a high correlation.
I suspect the same with the headaches, right? Would you not?
Yeah.
I don't know what the research shows, but in my practice, you know, when people are coming in and talking about the migraines and all the medication that they're taking, you know, the first place that I go, of course, is, you know, what's going on and what's not going on in your life, you know, your early life, your current life. You were mentioning this morning, too, to me that the adjustments can be really, really helpful and effective for depression and anxiety. And I think it would be interesting for the audience to understand how that might play itself out.
Yeah, when we adjust specifically the atlas vertebrae, which is the word atlas, which is from mythology, the Greek god who supported the world, right? The when we move that top vertebrae, there is not only an endorphin release that is a feel-good hormone that gives pain relief automatically, And that's what some people actually, when they say, oh, I'm addicted to getting adjusted, it's the same thing where they might be enjoying how they feel after a great workout or making love, those same, that hormone, the endorphin. But we're not doing it solely for that. We're doing that to turn on the nervous system. And there have been ECGs where they've actually blown up the brain after an adjustment, and they see centers of the brain that light up because the body is kicking on. And everything from the dopamine centers to those endorphins. And if someone has a dim light, if they're down, we can get in there just for that moment. And it takes us 10 seconds to adjust someone's atlas. And that ripple of positivity that changes their life might be enough to really jumpstart their whole lifestyle routine. And
is that kind of an adjustment done routinely, where maybe somebody is not complaining of depression or anxiety, but that, you know, it may very well be part of their life?
In our practice, it's done routinely, but I have found anecdotally people who have told us that they've seen a chiropractor regularly, it has become sometimes compartmentalized to the symptom, where if someone had a low back problem, they might not have their cervical spine and atlas adjusted. So I've seen that where someone has not really received what I call a chiropractic adjustment. They've gotten adjusted, and we adjust full spine every time. And you can, if you'd like to share, is there ever a time where I don't adjust your neck thus far in practice?
No, and I've gotten used to it. Initially, I have to tell, you know, my audience, it was a little weird. I had no idea, you know, what to expect. But I found, particularly this morning, you told me to relax so that the adjustment felt just, you know, it was easier for me than it was initially.
There's certainly a vulnerability, right? There's certainly a vulnerability to the cervical spine. It's very protected. We have our jugular veins in there, and it's, go for the jugular. It's human instinct to protect that area of our body. And that's a very important thing. In fact, that's why some practitioners might avoid it if it's not their proficiency.
Well, I tell you, it sounds, you know, so strange, but I must say that one of the best things that happened to me this summer as a result of my injury, or my former injury, is that I was referred to you, because never in a million years would I have ever thought about going to see a chiropractor. I knew nothing about what went on. And I was really frightened, because for me, tennis and competitive tennis has just been a part of my life forever. And I couldn't envision. I mean, I was in such pain when I came to see you. And it was like, oh, my God, the summer is going to come and go. And what's going to happen? And I don't want to take any medicine. So it was really a mitzvah. It was a good thing that this happened, because I have found that I am actually walking differently. I tend to, prior to the adjustments, I tended to favor my right side. I wasn't balanced. And I just find it amazing. I really do, Dr. Fischel, that within a very, very short period of time, that I feel transformed and will continue to do what I need to do, you know, moving forward, so that this isn't just going to be a feel-good kind of experience. But, it isn't funny how through adversity, how some wonderful things can happen, you know, in your office, in my office, in offices around the world in various different disciplines. It's just that people have to be willing, you know, and I say this every week in my opening, when I open the show, that people have to really give themselves permission to do what is in their best interest. And coming to you, for me, that was definitely in my best interest. You know, I'm looking at the clock. I can't believe that the time is coming and going. Tell people how they can reach you.
Yeah, so we're at East 60th Street in New York, New York, right across the street from a little place called Serendipity by Bloomingdale's. And we are at thewellnesscenterofny.com. And our phone number, 212-980-5444. That's the Wellness
Well, listen, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you so much for taking the time this afternoon. And I know, you know, we have more callers, and there was not enough time. So I'm going to have to invite you to come back on the show, because there were so many other things that I wanted to ask you and talk with you about. So we'll have to do a part two very shortly, okay?
You are spectacular. I appreciate you so much for having me. And, yeah, I look forward to really developing with you, because there is there's a lot more here, especially on that emotional front, where we could be directing our people through a better lifestyle approach to mental health. That is for sure.
No, that is for sure. So thank you so much. I will see you next Monday at 12 o'clock for my next adjustment. And have a good rest of the day. And again, thank you so very much.
Thank you. Bye now.
Okay, take care. Wow. Well, that was Dr. Craig Fischel. So if anybody is in need of absolute expert chiropractic care, I mean, he is the one to definitely go to. And my skepticism has definitely disappeared, because the proof has certainly, you know, been in the pudding, so to speak. You know, for me, it was very frightening to experience the kind of pain that I experienced. And the last thing that I ever wanted to do, of course, was to go on a medication and have, you know, anything done surgically. So, again, I can't believe it. An hour has come and gone. And next week, listen, everybody, I invite you to call in with any problems that you are having about your marriage, your partnerships, or lack of, or your depression or anxiety. Because initially, the Ask Beattie Show was supposed to be a call-in counseling radio talk show, which is the kind of show I had on mainstream radio for many, many years. So maybe this is actually the beginning of a new kind of call-in Ask Beattie Show. So again, thank you for listening, as you all do, and for texting, and for your kind and loving comments. And I will talk with you next Monday, and of course every Monday live from 3 to 4. And you can also go to the Progressive Radio Network archives, Ask Beattie Podbean. And if you have the time and the desire, you can listen to my 313 Ask Beattie shows that I've done at the Progressive Radio Network over the last number of years. So have a good day. I'll talk to you soon. And we end with my favorite song. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And boy, do we need a lot more of that. Goodbye, everybody. Have a good day.